Welcome, everybody. We're discussing Megillas Esther this evening. The Gra opens up with a question as to which holiday, is it Hanukkah or Purim, is more special, I guess. We recognize, of course, they're both special, but Purim is unique in that it is a hidden miracle. Hashem's name is not, you know, revealed in any of the explicitly, at least in the Megillah, although there are references to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. And if you'd like to discuss that, you can ask me afterwards or separately, and we can discuss that, and I'll show you several references. But the Megillah itself is Hastar Asta Pana Bayom, and then as a result of everything being hidden and then slowly becoming revealed, this is what allowed the Jewish people to reaffirm their commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through ahava, through love, and not through fear. And so the mashal nimshal that the Gra gives on this Megillah is that a king has a son who become estranged from one another, and the son is sent away to a foreign island where there's no one there except what he believes to be himself. The son is just by himself. And the following day, a bear comes out from the forest, and two people come out, and they kill the bear. And then the following day afterwards, an angry minister recognizes that when the king dies, the son will become the rightful heir, so he comes to attack the king's son. He, too, is dispatched by the king's trusted guard. And then the son realizes that he was never put there alone. He was never set on this island being alone. However, he did have the protection of the king, his father, all along. And this is what reaffirmed his relationship, and that's what the story of Megillas Esther is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, there was a time when we distanced ourselves from Hashem, and we actually felt very estranged, but Hashem was very close to us and throughout, and that is all revealed in the Megillah as the circumstances on the ground change, you know, from worse to the better. So the first pasuk, according to the Gra, I'd like to try to take you through a few of the pasukim according to the Gra. It says, "Vayhi bimei Achashverosh, hu Achashverosh, hamolech mehodu v'akush sheva v'ashum mea medina." That this is a, anytime we see the word vayhi, it's lashon avar in the past, and that's something that refers to a difficult time. Rashi tells us at the get-go, he was the king of Persia, and he served under Koresh, after 70 years of the exile from Babel, and he was the same wicked king as he was from the beginning to the very end. But he himself did not descend from kings. He was not a king. This arrangement that he has as being king is only because of his wife, Vashti. Vashti is the daughter of Belshazzar, and Belshazzar is the son of Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king who exiled the Jewish people two generations prior. So he is ruling over 127 provinces. If we take a look at Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph, we say that Achashverosh put a mas al ha'aretz v'yeh hayam. Mas refers to, is a sum of 100, mem and samach, 40 plus 60, v'yeh, is Vav Aleph, Yud Yud. So that refers to the 27 provinces. Together you get the 27 plus the 100, 127. So this is a reference, again, from beginning to end. He did not lose his kingdom, even though there was a lot of highs and lows with regard to his personal loss of Vashti, which came at the advice of Haman, to his to the ascension of Esther. But Achashverosh was able to retain the control over 127 provinces from the beginning until the end of the Megillah. The next pasuk, Bayamim Ahem, Kishevas HaMelech Achashverosh Al Kisei Malchuso Asher B'Shushan Abira, that the Gra explains that up until this time, all the kings dwelled in Babel and Babylon. He was the first one to set up shop in Shushan, and that is actually a blessing, because Hashem always gives us the refuah before the makkah, that it says in the pasuk, Ish Yehudi haya b'Shushan Abira. There was a Jew that already lived in Shushan Abira, Shmo Mordechai. And Mordechai was that person. and he descended from the tribe of Benjamin. So the fact that Ahasuerus somehow pointed out that this is the city that he wants to establish his kingdom outside of Babylon, outside of Babel, that in itself is a tremendous miracle, one that we don't often pay close attention to, because it's just Shushan HaBira, what difference does it make? No, it's exactly where Mordechai was and Esther, and they were the ones who played such a critical role in unwinding the evil plot that Haman tried to orchestrate. Shol Shonim Lamocho, there was three in the 3rd year of his reign. Asa Mishal Chosara Ba'avadav Chel Parasa Madai Partimim Bisaream Dinosa Fanav. The focus here on this pasuk is Bishna Shalosh Lamocho, that in the 3rd year, what is it about the 3rd year? The 3rd year is that it took 3 years for them to build a throne, as the pasuk says, that it's only when he had a throne did he feel comfortable celebrating the fact that he was king. Absent the throne, he didn't have a place to go, and so therefore he didn't feel that he was able yet to celebrate anything. So there was it took 3 years for them to build this throne. Initially, he wanted the actual throne of Shlomo HaMelech to be transported to Shushan, but from Babel, but that was not possible. And besides, there were artisans that were able to do the work in Shushan already. So, but it took them 3 years to complete it. The fourth pasuk is Bahar Oso. Everyone had to see him as Osho Kavod Malchuso, as Yakar Tiferes Gedulaso. They had to see him adorning and wearing precious clothing. This precious clothing happens to be the Big Day Malchus, because the pasuk says Kavod and Tiferes. What does it say by Aaron? It says in the pasuk, "V'asisa b'day kodesh la'aron achicha l'chavod u'l'sefaras." So since the same words are used over here, this teaches us, says the Vilna Gaon, that Ahasuerus, and some argue Vashti as well, wore the Big Day Kahuna, which in itself is a tremendous embarrassment, both to say and to visualize. The word yakar refers to precious stones, and that some argue might have been the stones that had been found on the Choshen, on the breastplate that Aaron HaKohen had worn. The pasuk also concludes with that it was Shmonim Mayas Yom, that it was 180 days of partying, and the question is why 180? Because Nebuchadnezzar had pillaged the Beis HaMikdash and created 1,080 storehouses of wealth, and every day of the party they took out 6 boxes. If you divide 1,080 into 6, you'll get 180, and that's exactly the number of days that they partied. The fifth pasuk says that after the party was over, this party went into another party. It was really a tremendous feast, and the chatzar ginas hamelach, that the king had a certain chatzar. He had 2 quadrants: one that was open to the public, well, actually to nobility, and another that was restricted to his own personal use. And it's within this personal use that Vashti made her party, as we'll see in a few moments. Chor kapasot chelos achot sechalibot zargaman aglile kesef amude sheish mito zahav kesef al ritzpat bahar vasheresh v'dar sacharet. So this is referencing the fact that there was so much display, a great display of wealth. And the wealth that was displayed here was unprecedented. Nobody ever saw something like this before, and this caused everyone to take note. But what's important here to recognize, says the Gra, that if you want to know what awaits a tzaddik los and lovo, focus on this pasuk and you'll get it. The word karpas, by the way, is also a reference to Pesach. That some of our Farshim refer to this as a reference to Pesach, because miracle of Purim actually occurred on Pesach, but we'll get to that in another time. The next pasuk is Zayin v'hashkos b'chlei zahav b'chelim mekelim shonim. The kelim shonim refers to the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash, old vessels, and the wine of Malchus Rav Kiyad HaMelech, that every person had wine that was older than he was, and wine that was suitable to be given to a king, which was a large portion of consumption of wine. Also, there was so much wine and there were so many vessels that there was no need for anybody to wait for someone else to finish their cup and then wash that vessel out. They were able to use multiple vessels and still have plenty left over for people to continue drinking and eating. The Gra points out that there's no reference to food at this party. And just to give you a size as to how many people participated, there were 18,544 Jews that participated in this party. That's not including all the rest of the people that also joined in. There was obviously a great amount of people there. And so nobody was lacking for cups. Everyone had multiple cups. They drank a cup, they put it down, they walked over, they ate something, they picked up another cup, they drank some more. So typically when someone comes to a smorgasbord, they eat a tremendous amount and drink a little bit. But if we're saying, if we want to really understand how much food there was for them to eat, the Pesukim focus on wine to show you that if you multiply that or magnify that, you'll get a picture as to how much food they were able to consume. And we'll stop over here at Pasuk Zion, pick up with Pasuk Ches on Wednesday night. And I want to thank everybody for joining us as we move through Megillas Esther. Have a great night.